Hello. I want to welcome all of our churches joining us, everybody online, our military around the world tuning in. Thanks so much for being a part of this today. I was at the gas station this week filling up my truck, and I noticed the guy on the other side of the pump was from the church. And so I kind of hid my face and then reached around and flipped him off. I just wanted to see if he would respond in the love of Jesus. No, I did not do that. Some of you were like, oh my gosh. But I should try that, because then we'd see who really acts like Jesus, wouldn't we? No, but I noticed him and he noticed me. And so we started talking, and what he said to me in the course of the conversation was, man, Pastor James, I'm really enjoying this new series, 40 Days in the Word. He said, especially the last week, I felt like it was really timely, because I got into a spiritual conversation at work about why I believe in Jesus and trust scripture, and it was really helpful. And then he let me know that he's excited to jump into the Bible reading plan as well. And then also this week, I was at the Little League fields, it's playoffs, and I was there, and a woman came up to me who I know from the church and just said, man, I'm really enjoying this series, and I love how easy it is to read the Bible every day, because the reading plan is on the Eastlake Church app, and she showed me her app and was just so excited to grow in her faith through reading scripture this summer. And I hope you are excited and engaged with us beyond what we're doing in here through this 40 Days in the Word series. Because I want you to remember what the goal is. Everybody go ahead and write this down, grab that outline, or click over there on notes. The goal of this series is that every single one of us, that God would show us the living word through the written word. That God would show us the living word through the written word. In other words, that we would encounter Jesus as we dive into scripture. That we would experience Jesus in new and fresh ways. Whether we've been walking with him for decades, or maybe we're brand new to following Jesus. If you look on your notes, I put some scripture references. Because when you read the Bible, the word, 40 days in the word can mean a couple different things. Those first two passages in John chapter 1, when it says the word, it's actually referring to Jesus, the living word. And then other times when you read the Bible, like those scriptures in Matthew and Luke that I reference, when it speaks to the word, it actually is talking about the written word, the scripture that we have. And both are important, but make no mistake, during our adventure in this series, we want to encounter Jesus, the living word. And we're going to do that through the written word. One is a tool, the other is the goal. Does that make sense? So we want to have the living word encounter Jesus through the written word. Now understand, we are not trying to make an idol out of the Bible during the series. Sadly, some groups of Christians have done that. Our goal is to not to try to go deeper into the Bible, whatever that idea of deeper means. Our goal is simply to get to know Jesus better through the tool of Scripture. That's why we've created a reading plan for you during this 40 days in the Word. And if you haven't jumped in on that, you can this week. As I said, it's available in a written form. It's not in your program this week, but I think at all of our churches, it's at some tables. As soon as you walk out the door today, you can go by and grab one of those. And we designed this to give you an overarching view and understanding of the entire story of Scripture. And so if you haven't jumped in with us, it is not too late to do so. You can do that on that plan, or that plan is available on the app. And I believe that as you jump in, take a little bit of time every day in God's Word, you're going to encounter Jesus in fresh new ways. Now, here is what we're going to talk about today. Here's today's big idea. Why don't you go ahead and write this down? Everyone builds a life on something. And Jesus says he is the only foundation that will last. That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, how many of you have ever played this little party game somewhere before? Jenga? Show of hands. How many ever played Jenga before? All right, let's see if we can have Jenga help us understand the big idea for today. Let me pull this out carefully. I know there's a way to do this. Okay, you got to keep it in here. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to set that right there. Now, if you have played, there we go. if you've played the game of Jenga before, you know the object is to set it up and then to take out blocks turn by turn, and the goal is you want to not be the person that pulls the block out and makes it fall. You would kind of want to be the last man, last woman standing. That is the goal. Now, we know with these blocks stacked like this that this tower can withstand some level of stress, right? A little bit of wind can blow on it. A little bit of California earthquake. There we go. And it will stay standing. But we know that as we begin to compromise the foundation by pulling a block out, eventually, if we keep doing this, what's going to happen? Well, let's see. Can it withstand a little wind? Let's blow from this side. There we go. Little California earthquake. Yeah. Still in the game. But eventually, if we take one of these out from here, we know it will do what? Fall. Unless it's built on Jesus or glued together. One of those two. One of those two things, right? Gotcha. Now, here's the point. Jesus claims a life built on him can stand even when wind and waves and difficulty come. This is the claim of Jesus. Look at it in your notes, Matthew chapter 7. Here's what Jesus said. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the wind beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. What Jesus is saying here through this metaphor is that difficulty and opposition will come our way. Understand that following Jesus is not an exemption from setbacks and struggles. Don't believe the lies of the TV preachers out there that say, if you make Jesus your choice, you will drive a Rolls Royce. It's as if they believe that following Jesus is like, you know, the golden ticket for little orphan Annie getting adopted by Daddy Warbucks. And you're acting like you've never seen that movie. Come on, you've seen that movie. That was a staple in my house growing up. And it's the idea that all of a sudden with Jesus, all of our struggles are gone. Now, does Scripture say that the moment that we put our trust in Jesus, we're adopted into God's families as sons and daughters? Absolutely we are. Does that come with incredible blessings and benefits? Absolutely. Is one of those benefits exemption from all setbacks and struggles? It is not. In fact, the exact opposite is true. As you read Scripture over and over, you will see that as men and women of God in this book, and what you'll read over the next 40 days in people's stories, is that even as they walked in obedience with God, they often faced opposition. That when they did the thing God asked them to do, there were setbacks and there were struggles. Why is it that God would do that? You see, often obedience and opposition mean that we're moving in the right direction. And the reason God often does that is to bring us to greater places of dependence on him. In other words, that those things happen so we learn to stand on this bedrock foundation of Jesus. And so back to our first question. What have you built your life on? Or what is it you're building your life on? Because we all build our life on something. And if you're wondering, well, man, what have I built my life on? Really, here's all you need to do, not necessarily look at someone's words. You need to look at their actions. That's what Jesus is really saying here. And the way that we can see where we're building our life, if you want to do a little internal evaluation, all you have to do is look at where you spend a lot of your time and where you invest a lot of your resources. And that tells you what you build your life on. I think for some of us, if we look at that, we're building our lives on a foundation of success at work. I mean, we're going to work, you know, and give 60, 70, 80 hours a week to our job, ignoring our family, even ignoring God, in order to succeed and move up the career path that we've chosen. For others of us, maybe the thing that we've built our life on or building our life on is money. I mean, it's that thing that we chase harder than anything else. A certain dollar amount to make every year, or a certain dollar amount to someday have in a bank. For others of us, maybe we built our lives on popularity and reputation. We're most concerned with what everybody else thinks about us. And still others of us, maybe we're building our life on kind of fun and thrills. What's the next adventure? Or what's the next dose of happiness? You know, it's my happiness above all else. Now understand, all of these things that I mentioned, none of them in and of themselves are bad. Moving up in your career, money, having a good reputation, you know, enjoying life, thrills, fun. But when we make those the ultimate thing, instead of making Jesus the ultimate thing, that's the sand that Jesus is talking about in this story. And so here's what we want to do today in week number two. We want to talk about how do we build our life on Jesus? How do we make sure that in our life, when the wind and when the waves and when the storms come, how do we make sure that we're standing on a solid foundation? What I want to do today is give you kind of four steps, and these kind of go from easy to hard. And I want you to listen for the one with your name on it. Here's what I mean by that. Which is the one that you go, that's the one I can work on this week? And so these kind of, we're going to stair step our way through this. So how do we build our life on Jesus? Number one, go ahead and write this down. We hear God's word. We hear God's word. If we want to know Jesus better, we need to hear the Bible being taught. This is what we do every weekend around here. And it's why it's so important to keep going, making our gatherings a priority. Because every time that you are in a service like this and God's word is open and we look at it and you hear it, you're giving your faith a chance to grow. Look at what it says in Romans 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. So according to that verse, how do you get faith? Faith comes from what? Circle it, star it, underline it if you're taking old school notes. It comes from hearing. Hearing what? The good news, the gospel of Jesus. I received a comment this week on Facebook from a post that I made about last week's message. And I asked the question on Facebook, have you ever felt God speak to you like that in a service? Where you had one of those moments where you were like, they were talking to me. And someone posted this, sent me a message. Her name's Esther. Esther wrote this. She said, our infertility journey started in 2005 when we first came to Eastlake Church. The next 2 years were incredibly difficult. After four in vitro treatments and no pregnancy, I felt like I hit rock bottom. I looked fine on the outside, but inside I was breaking apart. All my friends seemed to be on their second child. I avoided baby showers at all costs and avoided the holidays the best I could. I felt numb. I felt like I had done everything that God wanted me to do. I prayed, I read my Bible, I witnessed to friends. Why wasn't I a mom? But I still remember this moment during a sermon series called Dirty Jobs. This is a sermon series over 10 years ago that we did here. And the message that weekend was titled, The Dirty Job of Waiting. As I was listening, I felt God was telling me that it was time to surrender. His will, his plan, his timing, not mine. That moment I surrendered, and it was the first time I had felt peace about what we were going through. I didn't know what the next step for us was. I just knew that God had talked directly to me that day in that service, and it gave me peace and strength to continue. Fast forward, February 12, 2007, we found out we were pregnant. 9 months later, I became a mom. Our infertility journey was incredibly hard, but it shaped my faith. It almost broke apart our marriage, yet somehow God used it to strengthen our marriage beyond what I could have imagined. That struggle has made me who I am today, and for that, I'm grateful. You see, this is why you need to make gathering in our settings a priority. Because every time we gather, every time we open God's word, there's an opportunity for something like that to happen for you. There's an opportunity for you as you hear God's word for his spirit to speak, to encourage, to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring wisdom. So how do we build our life on Jesus? We have to hear God's word. Number two, write this down. We need to read God's word. We need to read God's word. This is essential if we want to encounter the living word Jesus. We need to read the written word. as we said last week, the Word of God is alive. It is inspired. The claim of Scripture in 2 Timothy is that the Scripture is different than any other book because it is God-breathed. It speaks to the deepest places of our soul. I want us to look at the next verse on your outline. It's Psalm 119, 105. In fact, could we read this verse out loud together? At all of our churches, patios, parent viewing rooms, Psalm 119, 105, ready, begin. Your word is like a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Your word, Lord, that's a prayer. It's a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. What is that verse saying? I want you to think about that verse this way. Go ahead and think about that verse with this statement right here. God gives lamps for now, not floodlights for the future. That's what God does. He gives us lamps for right now, not floodlights for the future. What do we want? We want floodlights for the future. That's exactly what we want. But that's not usually how God works. This last week, I put two huge floodlights in my backyard. One of our family's favorite sport is basketball. We have a hoop in the backyard, and I finally got around to putting some lights up. And we put, it's a 15-foot pole that on top of that pole has two 8,000 lumen LED lights. I'm not kidding. When I first turned them on after the electrician hooked them up, because I wasn't going to kill myself. After the first night they were there and I turned on, I laughed out loud because they were so bright. And I thought to myself, my neighbors are going to hate me. But luckily, we actually have great neighbors we're good friends with. But those things light up not only my backyard, but their backyard and the next backyard. I'm convinced for 3 yards, it's as if it was day. And it's awesome for playing basketball. Now, what do floodlights do? They illuminate a large area so you can see from here to very far away. That's what we like when it comes to God's will. When it comes to where God is leading us and guiding us and what he wants to do with our life, we want floodlights. We want to see 8-10 steps ahead. We want a decade laid out for us at a time. But that's not what God does. What does Scripture say? That his word is a lamp to our feet. You know what that is? One day at a time, one step at a time. That's the promise of Scripture. And again, why does God do that? Why doesn't God show us everything we're going to go through for the next 10 years? I'll tell you one reason, because we'd probably all quit. We'd see the struggles and the difficulty and the things that we're going to go through, and we're like, man, I don't want to go through that. And I think the other reason he doesn't let us see that is because it wouldn't build our faith. You see, when there is unknown, what does it cause us to do? It causes us to trust. And when we put our trust in God, it actually grows our faith. That is what this scripture is talking about. And the light, look back up there, Psalm 119. Your word is like a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. What is that light talking about? Well, what is the light that we have? The light that we have, it is the word of God. When I read this book, I see what I need for today. I get the wisdom that I need for today, for the next right step. I get the encouragement that I need for today. I can be filled with the hope that I need for today. I can read it and see my life in the reflection of the mirror of Scripture, and I can get the correction that I need for today. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so I hope, I pray that you will join us in reading God's word. And you will say, God, over the next 40 days, a little less that we have left, God, every day, give me what I need from you in that day. Read God's word. Our next step, building our life on Jesus. They keep moving up here. Write this down. To build a life on Jesus, we need to study God's word. Study God's word. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about the importance of studying God's word. Now, studying means more than reading. Here's what it means. It's looking at the scripture from different perspectives. It's meditating on it. It's thinking about it throughout the day. It's letting God speak to you and show you numerous things through that one story or that one passage. Joshua talks about this in the Old Testament. Look what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. One of the ways that we help you do this in our church style and structure is through what we call growth groups. Most of our groups center around a study of a topic based in scripture and a discussion in a group setting. And this is so important to your faith journey and your faith development because it gives you an opportunity to hear how others see and understand something, and then for you to learn from their perspective, and then for them to learn from yours. I loved a Facebook post that I saw this week from one of our members, Dana. Here was the post I saw from her. This is a group, growth group that she is a part of. And let me just read this to you if you guys will blow that up a little bit. Here's what she said. I'm so blessed to have this group of outstanding, God-loving, wine-loving, super fun people in my life. Three W's. Wine, the word on Wednesday. Apparently they meet on Wednesday night is what she's saying. Group tonight discussing James chapter 1, sharing delicious food, and a blind tasting of some various 91-point petite Syrahs. Is that how you pronounce that? Syrahs. You can tell I drink a lot. or I have been drinking. Which one of those two? You can decide. Okay. And then she posted some scripture verses that talk about the importance of having faith friends in your life. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. In other words, you weren't meant to do this Christian life alone. You'd have other people in your life that sharpen you. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, another one of our core verses that talk about how circles, groups, are better than rows. That face-to-face is better than all your faces looking at this face, as good-looking as it is. Okay, here's what it says. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And I love this because this is all about studying God's word together. The friendships, so you guys can take that off. The friendships, the relationships. That when your kind of Jenga stack of life gets a little shaky, you have other people around you to encourage you, to pray for you, to bless you. That's what this is talking about. Now, can you study God's word by yourself? Absolutely you can, and you should do both. You should do it in groups, and you should do it by yourself. And another resource that we've created is available in Church 201, or I think you can pick it up on the patio if you want to buy it for $5. We give it away in 201. It's our Encounter Jesus Prayer and Scripture Journal. And we've actually given you ways to study scripture on your own, to do more than just read it, but to meditate on it. To learn how to study and see it from different angles and to really understand what is it the writer was saying and what is it that God wants me to draw out and to understand today. And so we got to hear it, we got to read it, we got to study it, and then here's the last one, and this is by far the most important, we'll write this down. How do we build our life on Jesus? We act on God's word. We act on God's word. None of this matters without action. If all we do for the next 40 days is listen, read a whole lot every single day, and then we study, and we really kind of look at it, but we don't apply, let me tell you what we're going to do for 40 days. We're going to waste our time. That's what we're going to do. But if you'll listen, if you'll read, if you'll study, and then apply, this could be an incredible 40 days of life change for all of us. Because information is only good if it leads to application. And then application leads us to transformation. It changes the way that we live and the way that we love. This is the goal. Look at what it says in James chapter 1, last verse in your outline, 22 through 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must also do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. The older we get, the more we wish that were true. Let's keep going. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, And if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. That scripture is saying the point is not information. We're not trying to just go deeper into God's word, whatever that means. We're trying to be transformed. We're trying to encounter the living word. The point is not knowing the scripture, it's knowing the God of the scripture. The point is not mastering the written word, it's submitting our life to the master who is the living word. So what do you think could happen in your life, in your faith, over the next 40 days, the last, you know, almost 40 days that we still have left, if you did this? If you said, God, I want to regularly listen to your word. I want to hear your word. God, I want to read your word. And as I do, would the living word come alive in me? Lord, help me to study your word. Help me dig in and to meditate on it, as the scripture says. To read it and to think about it and throughout the day for you to encourage me and show me things. And then God, ultimately, would you help me apply it? Here's what I think would happen. I think we'd be encouraged. I think we'd find peace. I think God would give us wisdom. And so here's my challenge. Will you build your life on Jesus? The same question we asked last week. What ultimately is the authority of your life? Is it yourself? Is it your opinion? Is it, you know, your feelings? Is it our culture? Or are you building your life? Is the authority of your life on the word of God? Here's what I want to ask you to do. Would you reach in your program and grab that connection card? On the back left side, we do this every single week. Go ahead and get that out or click over to it on the app. Which one of those 4 points had your name on it? As I said earlier, there's a question on the back here that says, this week I will. And I'd love for you to write down one of those 4 things. This week I will read. This week I will listen. This week I will study. This week I will act. Which one of those had your name on it? Write that down. We'd love to be praying for you this week. I hope you'll join us in committing a little bit of your time every single day. I'm on day number 6 at this point. And join me in reading through the story of Scripture. And as you do, believe that you're going to encounter the living word, Jesus. Let me pray for all of us. God, I thank you that you have given us the story of Scripture, not so we can elevate Scripture itself as the end goal, but God, so that it is a tool so that we can encounter the living word, Jesus, so that we can submit ourselves to the Master. And so, God, I just pray that what you want to accomplish in us over the next month, that you would help us surrender and submit to it. God, I pray for those that are in a season of the unknown. They really would like a floodlight right now. God, I pray that they would take security and they would take comfort in the lamp and know that you're going to give them their next right step. And that as they walk that out, you're going to be faithful and give them the next step and the next step. And so God, may we be encouraged. May you grow our faith during this summer and during this season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.